cheers.
Yeah. Hi guys. Hi. Hi everyone. Hi.
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 Hi. Hi. Welcome to Waterhole 41. I learned it this time. Woo. Which number we're up to. Thank you. Thank you. It's all I've got in my head, so I've written everything else. Oh god, it's blank. Just on the other side. Hey guys, welcome to Waterhole 41. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. You can call that out if you feel someone's lying, and then we'll set fire to them. No, I'm just kidding. We've got a great lineup of guests tonight. Has anyone been to a water cooler before?
Just
great. Everyone's just put their hand up very politely. We've got three wonderful guests who are going to tell some amazing stories. Sorry, my mic's a bit crackly. It's me. It's me holding it. Don't worry. three wonderful guests who are going to tell us the stories to do with bullshit, which will be super fun. Because when I heard the theme was bullshit, I was like, oh, yeah, cool. That means like pooping your pants, right? And I was like, oh no, it could be like telling lies, or it could be like when something pisses you off or something's real stinking, you go, oh, that's bullshit. But so I don't know what people are going to talk about, but it could be anything, or it could be like any of those three, it could be none of it. So this is it. Bullshit also made me think of Bull Rush, which is a game. Which made me think of this time I was went down and visited my brother who was staying in Otago at the university there in one of the halls, and he was like, we're going to play this drinking game with like the people on my floor in the lounge, but when the guy comes, what do you call them, not the matron, the RA comes in, thanks, yeah, something like that, eh? When the RA comes in, you have to just pretend that we're like hanging out, we're not playing a drinking game, because then we'll get in trouble. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm the older sister, by the way. So. And then, anyway, we're playing Big Booty. You guys know Big Booty?
Yes.
Big Booty. Yeah, such fun drinking. And we're killing it. I'm killing it. I'm having a great time. And then this guy walks in. And I'm like, yo, play Big Booty. Come and play. And my brother was like, that is the R. He's like, that's bullshit. I'm going to crack on because I don't have a lot to talk about, to be honest. As I said already numerous times, we've got three great guests. Valentine. That's a cool name. Valentine Tommy T. We've got Albertine Jonas. Mm-hmm. Albert.
Yeah.
Brian. great people with great names tonight. And Todd Waters.
I love it. I think it's like an American porn star name.
Todd Waters.
Todd has two D's because one is never enough.
talk to kids in high schools and
community centres and stuff like that. Can you kind of tell me a little bit more about what you do?
Yeah, so I spent about 7 years and a half speaking in high schools and intermediate schools talking about health.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so.
Does that have to be health?
How to do STIs and not to eat them. mental health is a big topic we talk about, so I'm pretty passionate about.
Yeah. And do you still do that?
No, I got old and not got old anymore. So now I just collect money for a shake bucket outside.
Oh yeah.
New York and try something up in my head.
Oh yeah. You're dying, no, it removes you and you feel awful. do you work for a specific?
High school program, so we were just laughing. They do. Yeah.
So you no longer an educator, or?
I do parent evenings now, which is like, it sounds boring, but it's way more exciting because the audience doesn't smell. That's
man, high school is stank.
Yeah, good. It's actually after lunch. Right? The voice was like functional for armpits and links. Yeah,
Are there any trigger warnings you need to warn us about for your talk? Anything you want to share before you get?
Yeah, I'm used to talking to high school kids, so my humor's real like high school kid. I usually write all my talks with a year 10 boy in mind.
Right.
Because they're the worst.
Yeah. UTN, it's like four.
Four and 15. So that's my trigger.
That's about the extent of my intelligence. So. Perfect. Awesome. Well, would you like to, you can stand if you want, or you can.
Yeah, I could.
What would you? I felt like it wasn't awkward, and then I made it awkward by asking you.
I'm really tall, and it just makes it awkward if it's a small room.
That's good.
Sweet, okay. That's good. Thanks.
Awesome. Valentine, take it away.
Thank you. Hey, can I just start a round of applause? just really quickly, I just thought I'd just expand on the name thing. It is weird. I get it. I was born on Valentine's Day. My mom's really creative. As soon as you want to tell people that, all the girls are like, oh, that's cute. And really, more specifically, Samoan parents. I'm like, I'm Samoan, and I'm really the Samoan, that makes me really good at rugby. I'm full Samoan, which is great. That's a little bit about me. You're not so scared of me, you can approach me. Some of you are like, well, why are you here? Why aren't you washing windows? I'll make sure you I love telling stories. As you heard, I used to tell stories for a living. Tonight's theme is bullshit. And when I was brainstorming what I was going to talk about, I kind of went through some of the ideas Don was talking about. I thought about telling a fictional story, and at the end, like, ooh, bait and switch, I'm lying, bullshit. I also thought about playing with words. I love playing with words. Because you know what I mean, Dad saying, balls don't shit that angle? That must be the South Island thing. That's not how you grew up, like, kind of near farms. Like, well, if you live anywhere in the South Island, you kind of look near a farm. There's a new farm. But that's the saying that's often said, oh, bullshit. Oh, balls don't shit like angles. So I thought that might be a story about my hernia. Maybe rugby game last year, just to like bust a nut. It's kind of weird. Yeah, horrific. It's not his name, but it's but I don't know that. Instead, I just thought I'd tell a story about those nuts. It's at this point that most of you are like, what? Why are we here? What are you going to do? It's anymore here. And you're like, what? Are you shitting me? Spoiler alert, this story is about me shitting myself. So, Balenciaga. 2 years ago, it actually just started with a rumble of the old tummy on a Friday afternoon. It ends with a very long shower on a Saturday night. I didn't know where it's going. It's a little surprising. So Friday night, after work, having a beer with my colleague, and Stan was a bit upset. I was like, maybe it's just something, like, maybe it's some water thing, I don't know. So I had some more water, and it was great. Didn't work, sorted it up 6 hours. I tried to relieve myself and there were photocopy overnight to no avail. It's kind of one of those terrible letdowns. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? You're sort of like, oh man, it's really painful and I want to get rid of it, but you go to the toilet and nothing happens. It's almost like empty promises, a bit of a disappointment. So can you order a burger? It looks great. When you order it, I don't know, it doesn't look great. How was your burger?
Oh yeah, it was good.
So she's not talking about the disappointment I felt when I went to the loo and couldn't believe myself. So that was going on. And then, that was pretty sore. You girls are probably laughing at me, like, stuff and cramps, get out of here. So I was asleep that night and I was still upset. The next morning I woke up in the same place. That's a good start. Someone was still upset. I thought, oh, maybe I need to pile on food and flush it out. So I had like 4 wee bits, protein shake, a long black, a banana, that was awesome. So yeah, it was a request. That's like a standard meal for me. And then I killed the morning before my radio while watching like shows, usually like sort of mind numbing shows. I think at the time I was watching Orange is the New Black, which is pretty exciting for me. About 11 o'clock, I get another feed in, so you can't have to time your meals before your games. And so I get there. About 4 eggs. Yeah, swimming in a bowl of spaghetti, which is great. So soggy, I like the soggy, it's weird. So I smash it. My stomach's still upset, it's pretty orange. Right as I'm about to leave to go to my break again, I know that happens. Not the thing, but this thing happens where you kind of like add baking soda to the vinegar inside my digestive system. I was honestly like halfway to the door, I had to chuck myself and just like, whoa, bang, bang, made it to the door, that was awesome. And I thought I was in the clear, so I off on me, I was like, yeah, I'm gone, and that's what happened. Went to footy, played my game, felt all good. We went to the changing room afterwards, and then the stomach bug started annoying me. And I was like, oh no, not again, not again, all this way, it's all good. Tried to flush it down with some water, get lots of beer, some more water, and it got worse. It started getting really, really bad. And at this point, I'm like, I've got to bail. Like, oh, I need to go home. I didn't want to, like, go to the toilet in the changing rooms. I don't know if you've ever been to any sports facilities or changing rooms, and particularly like rugby changing rooms, they're gross. The toilets are disgusting in a rugby club rooms. There's always dirty things in there, like flush toilet and urinal seeds and Aaron Smith. Also dirty things. So I jumped in my car, busting, and I was like, I'll make it here. So I'm driving home, I think I'm in the clear, I'm all good, I'm halfway home. It's starting to get a little bit tight down there. I'm like, oh, and does anyone know what I'm talking about when you sort of pinch your butt cheeks and you're like walking around? So here's the thing, you can do that when you're standing, but when you're driving, it's really hard to. So I was sitting driving, and then about 2 thirds of the way home, I sort of elevated my hip to this height. If I was in a manual, it wouldn't work, but I was in an auto, so it was okay. And I was like, oh, yeah. So I got this hill. And I lived up to some Christchurch, and so I finally hit flat, finished flat, and I'm nearly home. Like, I just got that extra, like, 20 seconds to get there. And as soon as I hit the hill, whatever it is, it just puts my equilibrium out. And I start panicking, I'm like, oh, here we go. And it's like a really busy road, so it's not like you can pull over and just, like, relieve yourself. I'm like, nah, I don't know, it's happening. So I'm driving up the road, and, I just blow the sphincter. That was all of it. And the old girl got this pasta. Yeah, honestly, it was horrific. And it's the weirdest sensation. I was like full clink and like full extension, but like, and I'm like, it's like spraying. Contained, and I was really, now I'm doing like something more of it. I have a terrible sense of fashion, and I mean, some of you are looking at my, why are you wearing polo fleece pants? These are the very pants that I was wearing. It's kind of like a track pant, lazy type thing, like after sleep, you know, real clean, you know, I just lay them on. So I cleaned them, but the thing that makes these pants really special is they're made for the outdoors, and trying to keep you warm in those mornings, but on the back of them, you can't really see, but I have this like black lining that there.
Oh,
it's what we call a water liner. What it does is it means that I can sit on like wet grass or wet things and my butt won't get wet. So it's really good at protecting your skin from getting wet. It keeps water out. What I found out is it also keeps water in, or just fluid in general. So these pants, they're quite tight down here. Did anybody watch What Man growing up?
Yeah.
So these are the same pants. Pants were always filled up. These pants filled up big time. And they're so good at doing what they're supposed to do, they didn't leak. Also for my car, because there was no pooling leak. Like, legit drawing my own face for about 150 meters with just. Everywhere. This is a true story. I think the funniest part of this whole ordeal was actually trying to exit my car. So I live on this hill, I told you that. So I pull up the driveway and it's on an angle and I'm like, this is awkward. So I open the door and I'm like, how do I get out? Do I just leave it running or do I just leave my bag in there? I had to roll it out. But I knew if I rolled it out too fast, it could come out the top of my waistband. And so I did this record shuffle out and then walked up the stairs with stuff dripping down my legs. I made it to the shower and I just jumped in fully clothed. That wasn't my shower, it was the ensuite for my flatmates, mate. But yeah, I spent a really long time showering. I didn't think about throwing pants away, but I thought that was wasteful. I didn't know we just soaked them for about a week. And then oxy action, by the way, being not even, it's probably oxy action. But that here is my story about pulling my pants, which I'm still wearing.
Yeah,
it's true. You were like,
yeah.
Yeah, so we need to find out the stories in the sense of.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Exactly what they're into.
Push. What is it?
Pushback.
Pushback.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I just want to like fill up a pair of those pants with my gum. Because it just sounds really cool. I remember as well now.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Cheers. Thank you.
Yeah, literally that.
I did was a short film, Proof of Concept, which I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to talk about.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And is it in post?
It'll be in post, probably be out publicly soon, released, so that it gets funding, I assume, but not really sure how that stuff works.
Yeah.
Sticking to the actor side of it, not producing just yet. Thank God. Yeah.
Do you write?
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah.
I think about it a lot. Writing, but like I intend to. Yeah, I consider myself a writer without actually done anything.
Absolutely. I think more about writing than I think about.
Thanks, man.
I'm so sorry, I don't know what's happening with my brain today.
Neither do I.
It's coming out and I'm not catching up.
Yeah.
So did you have anything you wanted to talk more about?
No, I don't think
so.
Well, it's not quite a like cohesive story in Dolphin, but that was sort of amusing. Thank you, man, for sharing. But yeah, it was great fun. Bullet points listed. I'll stay sitting if that's right with you.
Oh, I don't know.
Stay sitting. Cool, so yeah, I started kind of sitting in my room on my bed. Trying to figure out what to write about bullshit, got like the email, 100 ideas came in my head, and then, as I said before, spent about a week and a half thinking about it, considering it was like 70% of the work. It's not, it's like 40% maybe at a push, you gotta actually do the work. But yeah, so I ended up opening a document and typing it, like, everything bullshit that has ever happened to me, / everything that I think is utter bullshit. And then I just proceeded to procrastinate with personalizing the bullet points as like with little faces of Trump. You know, when you have that smile, it's like, you know, that smuggle smile. So each bullet point is now like a picture of Trump. I thought it was quite fitting for the bullshit, topic of guilt. My phone's locked. I was going to print it out, but 48 hours happened recently, and I gave it printed to someone. Can't get it back yet, it's complicated. And so I was sitting on my bed just kind of listening to the Madden soundtrack in the background. My boyfriend plays Madden, and he's recently started venturing in the world of fantasy football because two fantasy basketball teams are not enough to handle, apparently. So fantasy football is here it comes. But yeah, so I started writing this list, and I kind of realized all the things that I'd been thinking about writing were actually really kind of shit things that had happened to maybe other people or in my life, but not necessarily, but had affected me. So was that a really bad constitute being on my list? I don't know. So I started getting all shaky and clammy, and I'm kind of getting a bit shaky now, because when I think of sad things or shit things happening to my body is the first thing that reacts, right? So first thing that goes is my appetite as well. So whenever I get stressed or sad, appetite vanishes completely, which is a result of a few things. I've had a head injury a few years back, and sometimes it's naturally how my body reacts, but that's kind of what it is. So sitting there a bit like shaky, and I was like, oh God, why am I doing this? What is this? But anyway, continued writing anyway. And so then I kind of was thinking about like how my body reacts, and because of I've been going through quite a lot of stress and chaos in my life, and recently that I am quite small, like I'm slightly underweight, I am definitely underweight, but for me, I'd like to be a little bit heavier than what I am. I'm naturally always small, but I would like to be a bit bigger than what I am now. But beside the point, that's kind of like what happens. And so when I get stressed, I stop eating. So some people, when they get stressed, right, they stress eat. So they eat like chocolate, ice cream, whatever, they stress eat. And so, but what happens when you get stressed and you don't eat is not only are you feeling really fucking stressed and unhappy at the time, but there's literally a word, hangry, that is mixed with hungry and angry as a common colloquialism, because the two go hand in hand so well. Just another shout out to my partner James to deal with the bullshit, thanks babe. It's not a good thing to be stressed and completely have your appetite disappear. And so I don't feel hunger, I just go straight to feeling really nauseous. You know, when you haven't eaten so long, you feel nauseous, that kind of feeling, and angry and all of that crap. And so I'm I'm kind of, you know, I'm definitely on the smaller size, but that's not to a fault of my own. I have no dietary requirements. I don't have any allergies. I eat whenever I want to. I try and eat. I don't, I'm not any kind of bulimic or anorexic. I have friends and family who are terribly affected by that, and it's awful, but that is not me. And that is, I'm small because of this, and that's a different thing. So that is me. And so from that half-fat segue, I'll go into my story. So this segue is rambling at the beginning. So basically, a few months ago, I went to see a play that ATC did, which is The Sun, Moon, Collide, and I loved that. I don't know if you guys saw it. I loved the play. I thought it was amazing. I thought that they were incredibly strong actors on stage portraying a really love story, although I thought that the ending was somewhat flawed. I thought that overall the production was incredible. And so one of my friends was playing this character who essentially, it's spoiler alert, by the way, about to tell you what kind of happens. Essentially, she is being sexually abused, and her coping mechanism of being sexually abused is that she stops eating or regulates her food so that she becomes small, so that she becomes somewhat sexually unappealing to her abuser. And so that's her coping mechanism, from my understanding of it anyway. And so we sit through this play, and I thought that was really interesting. And that was actually kind of more of a side plot to maybe the main story, but I thought that idea on its own was a really interesting thing, because I thought it highlighted the fact that some people can be small, and it's for a whole lot of different reasons, and it's something that affected me personally. And I was like, man, I could go away and write a play about this idea solely. Like, this is so cool. And so I came out of the play, finished the play, me and my partner were there together, and waiting in the foyer for my friend to come out, and she came out, and it was all hugs and well done, that's so great, blah blah blah. And then there was a family of about four adults and one kid, maybe about 15, who came up to us. And this kid, they came up to us because the girl wanted to explain to my friend how amazing she did, and so how incredible performance and how much she affected her, and how brave she was on stage. My friend, she always wears her heart in her sleeve in her performances. She's beautiful to watch. And all the things I want to be told after you've done performance like that as well. So, it was really beautiful to watch in here. And then at the end of this kind of compliment thing, this woman who had sit through and seen this whole play goes to me and squeezes my arm and goes, ooh, you need a pie. And me, that's my partner is with me, he's acutely aware that this happens to me often. My friend, who is also quite small, so she gets this happen to her in her natural life, as well as exploring this character's relationship with weight and food intensely and emotionally for about a month in rehearsal. And then me, just sitting there, and I just was just like, holy crap, like, how can you sit there through this whole thing and come away and say that to me? I mean, say that to me in normal day life, I find it quite outrageous anyway, because people feel they can't say anything with people who are overweight, but as soon as someone who is underweight or they perceive as underweight, they feel they have every right to go up and invade their personal space, which I think is complete bullshit. You have no idea what the circumstances are and what is happening. So kind of just want to end this little story on like a public service announcement, PSA, which is PSA, I remember, like, was a public service announcement a few months ago. Really terrible shit like that. But I just wanted to say that, like, I know that sometimes when you come up, people could be coming from a place of understanding and they're not happy with your size. I understand, but it's still not okay. I do not want to make them feel repulsive in public, because whatever logic that was made, you leap from looking at someone and thinking they are slightly underweight to then invading their personal space and saying something about it. It leaves me the rest of the day feeling completely disgusting and repulsive. And that's sad, because I feel good in my body and I'm all for body positivity. And on that note, I just want to recommend a few body positivity Instagram accounts, because I think that now that I have this platform as a privileged white female, I can give these people that don't necessarily have this platform. And one that's really amazing is the_feeding_of_the_fox. A little bit lengthy, not my choice personally, obviously, but this is a really amazing body positivity Instagram account that deals with not only weight issues, but disability issues and a whole lot of different things like that, and how we perceive them in the world and all that. So I just kind of encourage you to all think about things a little bit more on that topic. And that is my story of bullshit.
It's hard because you just don't know what people are going through.
Yeah, totally. And like, I know it comes from a place of, like, of course, like, someone who sees someone away, you're like, oh my god, they, you know, I want to feed them a burger, I want to wrap them up in a blanket, but it's like, you know, it's what, do you want to go and, like, if someone's overweight, do you want to go and, like, give them a lipo band? Like, no, just like, you're happy in your body, like, fuck off, man.
My girlfriend has had this problem her whole life. She's just naturally skinny, like, skinny.
Yeah.
Like, and she gets people coming out to her all the time being like, yeah, come on.
Yeah,
like,
it's horrible.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's a time of thing you just never think about if when it's reversed.
Totally. And there are a lot of, in fact, the majority of people who do struggle with their weight, either if they genuinely do struggle with their weight, or they have perceptions of their weight that they struggle with, and I completely understand. Like, and some people really struggle with losing weight, and that is a total thing, and I completely advise to go see people and dietitians and whatever you need to do to help yourself with that, and that's amazing. But just because I am who I am, it doesn't mean I have, don't have the same kind of struggles, just the other way around. Yeah.
I think people just don't think that if it hasn't, something hasn't happened to them,
totally,
they find it hard to imagine.
Yeah.
That's good.
There's about five going on. I've got this, like, I don't know, canvas that comes up to my shoulders in my room that's been sitting there that I've been like, I'll put it away when I'm not using it, but it's just been sitting there now. I've just been kind of writing like two sentences on, and that's the play start. But there's heaps of other things, don't there, in that kind of play.
Cool.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
In the all-female cast of Sun Shakespeare, which is going to be freaking awesome, because all-female cast is how we're doing Two Gentlemen of Verona. I'm playing Speed. It looks like an epic cast. We're starting rehearsal in October, and it will be popping up around January, I believe.
I'm not sure if it'll be in the Globe.
I think it's in the, we haven't got all the details yet at all, but I assume it'll be around the Universal or University grounds. Like, you know how they do the outdoor setup there?
Yeah, that's it. Melbourne, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of, is it still sitting there? Is it still sitting there? Is that what you're saying? Is it still sitting there?
A ghost is there.
Yeah. I drove by there a few weeks ago. It was still there.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what for. I could be lying to you.
That's very exciting.
Yeah,
it's very cool. And is it being directed by you now?
Yeah, it's been directed by a woman called Alex. I am terrible and I've forgotten her last name, but she's a lovely British woman. And I hope to, it's all female.
Are you
playing
men?
Yeah. So, I don't think we're just going to gender swap for men. I think that'll be kind of pointless. I think they'll still play the role. But, like, because the pop up blog company have got the All Kings cast, right? So that's the all male cast, which their male part's playing the female. So they're not doing that for a female. At the Globe company, so Shama Shakespeare, which I think is absolutely incredible, so that's awesome.
Props to you.
Thanks, man.
Cool, we'll keep an eye out for it.
Yeah,
the summer, which is coming.
Coming eventually.
Go. Oh, that was my quiet, not my butt. awesome. The water cooler with Alice, who's sitting there in front of her. When did you start this?
I came aboard at the beginning of this year, and Alice came aboard, I'm going to say 3 months ago.
It's been going on then.
Yeah, since 2013. But we are now the guardians of the water cooler.
The key is with us.
Yeah, and if we don't make money, it's our money.
Yeah.
So please tell your friends. first one that is like our money on the line.
What's different about this show?
I don't know, they're just like, I think Elise, who was running it, is satisfied with how we're doing, so she's like, I'm out.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Right.
She's like,
so the key is really
in that. Literally, like, yeah. It's my bank account.
I thought you'd like.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a number or something you'd spend a lot of money on, and you were like, if I don't recoup my costs, it's coming out of my bank account. So it's not a number.
No, it's a sound financial structure, yeah.
Yeah. I know all about it. So, Todd, is that from co-running this amazing platform? Is it right?
Yeah, sure.
What do you write on your when you come in?
It's usually like retail worker, retail superstar.
Oh, yeah, pick yourself up it.
Yeah, I work for the biggest retail company in the country.
Does anyone want to guess what it is?
Yeah, 10 points.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that I'm officially, because they really live, like, feature heavily in my story, the don't work for the warehouse man.
Oh.
Yeah. That's right. It's not. Yeah.
What do you do there? Maybe I should start.
Literally everything. Like, I'm a retail superstar, mate. Nah, I couldn't find out. Customer service, the jewelry bar, the music, like, entertainment department. Like, they're like, oh, Todd's working, so we won't hire. Todd can do all of that. But I'm still there on the end of my
downside of being a superstar. And do you remember anything else as well?
I work at the ASB Waterfront Theatre.
Oh, cool.
As a box office bitch. Make it fun otherwise. and they pay the bills while I chase the good old dream.
Which is?
Being an actor, a writer, and a producer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the last thing you
did?
Jacobs.
Oh. Well, that's every month is a thing. And then I was in Boys at the...
Oh.
With ATC.
Very cool.
Which was a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really like... I think the last thing, they're kind of all blur. Oh, Jingles the Musical was the last thing. I guess just introduced that, and that was a great time.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Is there anything
I swear a lot in the story, and there's like a little bit about sex.
You said a little bit about sex?
No, a little bit about
sex. A little bit about sex.